Some Time to Explain, the Destiny Lore podcast where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. This is episode 21. I'm Mike, my pronouns are he, him, and with me as usual is my co-host Kit.
Hi, I'm Kit, I'm a he, they.
What's up, Kit?
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey. It's okay. Destiny is a good video game. Destiny is good again.
Very happy.
Yeah, it's a treat. It's an absolute treat and delight. All is well here. I spent the morning watching an F1 race that never happened, so that was interesting.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, you can't race cars in the rain, it turns out. They'll smush. You don't want those cars to smush. They go too fast for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You survived the hurricane.
I did.
Tropical storm.
I did. And we were very lucky to have it not be too bad here. Definitely thinking of people in the path of... Is it Hurricane Ida or Ada? Ida.
Yeah, I think Ida.
Ida. Down in the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Looking like it's going to be much more impactful than the hurricane we faced up here in the Northeast. So, thinking of everyone out there, hope y'all are staying safe if you're in that path of effect there.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's rainy season, I guess.
It's almost like there's increased frequency of extreme weather events or something.
Huh. I wonder if that might have to do with, like, some global climate effects from industrial society. I wonder.
Who could say?
Who could say? Oh, man.
You know what'll fix it, though? The free market.
Of course. Of course. If only the free market could breed some innovation to stop this.
It's just those bad actors.
Uh-huh.
We got them out of there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, uh-huh. Jeez. So,
Socialist revolution! Oh.
Wow, you got something in your throat there.
Yeah, allergies are really acting up today.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, man. As we keep each other company here at the end of all things.
Yeah. So we're talking about, if you didn't pick it up already, we're talking about Season of the Lost, the first week.
Season of the Lost!
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about it last week, so there's just so much Witch Queen to talk about, which is also very exciting. But then we got to get our hands on the new season that dropped the same day and played that this past week, so that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's big stuff. Big stuff, so if you have not played it, from here on out is going to be spoilers. We're going to be talking about it. It gets right into it, so there's your warning. If you haven't done it yet, go play it and then come back and listen.
Yep. Yeah, so it does get right into it. Are we going to do another 5-sentence summary?
I would like to try.
Okay, all right.
You did say you wanted to alternate.
I did.
Would you like to give it a shot?
Sure.
Okay,
I can.
If you don't want to, that's fine, but
I can
I
give
wanna...
it a shot.
Okay.
Were you doing it right off the dome, or were you looking at anything while you were doing it?
I was doing it off the dome.
All right. Well, you got a good dome. I don't know about that. I don't know if it's as good there. Okay, so
insert Gundam X reference. You know, you know. I won't be saying anything more than that.
I don't know.
Yep.
Oh man. Okay,
and I'm not gonna tell you.
Good. One day I'll make it through all the Gundams. It has to get cool enough that I can actually sit in my living room so I can actually watch it. It's too hot down there. Okay. Five Senses.
Five
Season
Senses.
Of the Lost. Ikora issues a warrant for the arrest of Osiris, who is hiding in the Dreaming City with Mara Sov after the events of the final mission of Season of the Splicer. Period. I think.
Yep.
I've never done this before, so I'm thinking hard.
Yep.
One down. The player guardian joins Saint 14 and Crow on a mission to find him. And when they do, we discover the true identity of the Osiris that we've known for the past several seasons. : The Witch Queen Savathun! !
Very nice. That's two.
Mara contains Savathun in a crystalline cocoon. However, we can still hear her voice, and Savathun speaks directly to us, claiming to be our friend. What happens after that?
Was that sentence three?
That was sentence three.
Okay. Two more.
Okay, what happens after that? Let me think. Mara, after her reunion with her brother Aldrin, now known as Crow, strikes a deal with Savathun to secure the safe return of Osiris by using awoken technology to remove Savathun's symbiotic worm, thereby releasing Savathun from its constraints. I have one more.
It was four.
Okay, I have one more. Thus begins the main mission of the Season of the Lost, in which the player guardian and other major characters must assist Mara in convening her coven of tech witches so that she may accomplish her end of the bargain with Savathun with their expertise. That's the setup.
Yeah. You got
I did
it. Five senses.
I did it. Good I hope job. They made sense. You'll have to make them make sense in the in post. We'll get it in post. Don't worry. Mike's gonna like DM me on like Tuesday night, like, hey, actually, can you like record a different sentence? I'll be like, no problem. Hold on.
Nope.
Nope. So that's the setup for the season.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's hard.
Yeah, you got it. You pretty much got it. There are two things that I would add to that.
Sure.
And they're like, surprise, Marasov is back.
Okay.
And seemingly the reason that Osiris, before it's revealed that he's been Savathun, is in the Dreaming City is because they, like, already struck this deal.
Oh, that went right over my head.
Because Savathun says, at least, that she is on the run from Zevor Wrath, who's trying to kill her.
I mean, I knew that Savathun was on the run, but I forgot about that. Thank you for adding that.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot to summarize. So
there
I
was
think
a lot.
You did a good job.
That was the thrust of it.
Yeah.
At least.
Definitely.
Reactions, thoughts? What did you? How did this go for you? Did you yell?
First of all, validation.
Oh yes.
The butterfly meme update to end all butterfly meme updates.
Is this Savathun? Answer, absolutely it was.
Yes.
It has been.
I'm a little mad that that goddamn Who's That Pokemon thumbnail was fucking accurate. This only encourages those people.
Yeah, it's true. And also encourages us at the same time.
I tried to be so careful about not making that proclamation.
Not saying Osiris is Savathun.
Right, right.
And,
but, like, all signs pointed to it, and it's just, like, that little bit of uncertainty about the Endless Night card, where it's, like, ambiguous as to what form she's in.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do?
Say, I told you so.
Yes. I think we're still in the clear.
Oh, definitely.
I think we still called that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty well.
Oh, yeah. And there's some interesting stuff in some of the weapon lore, too, and more detail about Savathun's actions in the past few seasons here.
Yes.
That we'll get into later, but, yeah.
I really got into it in our Presage episode, and certainly makes a lot more sense why Osiris wanted that fucking crown.
Yeah, right? I was thinking about that, like, over the course of the last... So, part of what's revealed in the intro to the Season of the Lost is that since Season of the Hunt, all the way back to Season of the Hunt, it's Osiris has been Savathun, right?
Right.
Because Season of the Hunt...
was when Crow came into the story.
Right. And that's the whole time that, you know, Crow has known Osiris. He has actually been Savathun, or has been possessed by Savathun, I guess.
That's what I'm unclear about. The way that I feel it plays out is Osiris is there in the cutscene and then transforms into the giant form of Savathun. Mara crystallizes her in the cocoon thing. So I was like, was she shape-shifting and Osiris is somewhere else entirely?
Mm.
Or is it that she used, like, possessed him and was driving him around?
I think the latter. And I will tell you why, but I don't want to tell you why just yet.
Okay.
I do think it hinges on some stuff that I'm not sure you've seen yet. Or at least my interpretation hinges on something that you haven't seen yet.
Okay.
Other big things here. Zevor Wrath is now being in control of the Taken.
Yeah, it gets said in passing.
Like it's no big deal. I'm like, that's huge.
Yes, and seemingly the Hive, too. Like Zevor Wrath is now on the top of the chain.
Right.
I mean, at least that's the story that's been given to us.
Fascinatingly, yeah, so a lot of this is like, how much do you trust Savathun? How much do you trust Marasov? I don't trust either of them as characters to be necessarily, like, representing events in their full truth. You know, this is the story that we have. The story that we have is Zevorath is hunting Savathun.
Right.
But
on behalf, the quote is, on behalf of another.
Right, so who's that? Oryx?
The Darkness? Question marks.
We don't know.
I don't know.
But, you know, this is very much a season where you can't trust that... You can't really trust what's coming from Savathun, which is emphasized to you by the cutscene that we get where... Savathun represents her version of events of the last three seasons of Destiny.
Right.
Which is noticeably a little bit different from the narrative that the Vanguard has been pushing and that has been, you know, centered in the story of Destiny as we've been experiencing it.
conveniently skipping over the part where she is the cause of all of it.
I know!
And instead framing it as if she is the protagonist and has been the hero saving us all.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Which, who's to say she isn't? I mean, we don't know. But it doesn't feel very... It certainly makes you... It has the effect of making the player very untrustworthy. Because she's essentially... The cutscene is essentially telling you that your interpretation of events from the last 9 months... is incorrect, which, you know, in real time, that's a fair amount of time for it to, like, sink in with you. So it's like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, girl. Like, one cutscene is not gonna, like, change my mind and make me think, oh, Savathun's a good guy now.
Right.
There's a lot of, like, you know, oh, is Savathun is really just in the Dreaming City? Like, is that safe? Like, is that really okay? And Mara's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I got her in the crystal. It's fine. It's fucking fine. Don't worry about it. And you're like, Mara, what? Are you sure? Okay, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know all that much. I wasn't really playing Destiny when Mara was like a front and center character. Like, what was the last time that she was... majorly in Destiny Forsaken?
Yeah, in the year post Forsaken.
Uh-huh.
When we were going through the 3-week curse cycle, every 3 weeks you would go to Mara's throne room, which was in another dimension, through the Oracle engine. And she would have some she'd be chilling in there, and she would have some dialogue to you, and that was like the ongoing story update. And then after a certain amount of time, she peaced out. And I could talk more about that if you want, but that was the last time we saw her.
Why did she peace out?
So it's kind of unclear. Mm-hmm. But my interpretation was she is building up forces to go and confront the Black Fleet. Like, she
right.
knew
okay.
about their
yes.
approach before anyone else did.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, you know, 1 week you'd go in there and there'd be a hologram of the pyramid ship, which was like the first time we saw the pyramid ship since the ending cutscene of Vanilla Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
One week we went in there and the emissary was in there talking mm-hmm. to Mara. Eventually she was like, well, I'm making a choice about what side I'm taking. I don't like either of these paracausal forces, but I'm making my choice. My interpretation was, I'm going out to confront the Black Fleet and smell you later. And the next time we saw her after that was in Season of the Drifter, and we had the Invitations of the Nine, and there was a week where Orin, the emissary, is talking to the Nine about what Mara has been up to, and we see a representation of Mara, and Orin is talking about, like, she's in danger, she might be in over her head, and it looks, the representation we see of Mara is like this giant, like, almost looks like a giant salt statue or something in the distance. It's like, looks like it's in the middle of a battle. Then, like, the next time we heard from her after that was on Zavala's answering machine being like, I've been gone too long, I'm making my way back. That was like a while ago.
I remember so, that.
Like, whatever happened, like, whatever she was doing while she was away and whatever happened during that, like, that's still question marks to me. Like, that's my interpretation of things, that she was out confronting the Black Fleet, but it's like, what did that entail? What ended up happening? How is she back now? Why did she come back now? Don't know.
Right.
But there's all, like, once she made the decision to, like, confront the Hive Gods and attempt to take them down, she's had this nebulous plan. And that, as we learned through Forsaken, that opening cutscene of Taken King, like, what transpires there was part of the plan, which we didn't really know at the time.
Okay, so this is all still is all according to Mara's plan.
Like, maybe?
Question mark.
I hope that part of this season of The Lost is that we understand better what the fuck Mara's plan is. Because there's some of it in the Forsaken year lore books where it's her narrating from her perspective.
Right.
But
how reliable of a narrator is Mara? We don't know. Perhaps not especially.
It's like one of those things where it's like, until something comes out that says otherwise, it's all we have to go on.
Right. She's cool. Let's just take a minute and talk about Mara.
Yeah, I really like her as a character. She's one of my favorite characters. Like, she has some of the coolest lore in the game, like, some of my favorite stuff. And I think she's really interesting for that reason. Like, my opinion is that she is on the side of humanity. Like, I do think we need her help if we are to succeed.
Yeah. And she is one of the original Awoken.
She's the
original Awoken from the Golden Age. Like, she has been alive since the Golden Age. So she's not as old as, like, the oldest of the Elixni by any means. But, yeah, and, like, the Awoken are such an interesting group. We talked a little bit about it in the Gay Destiny Hour episode. But we can definitely go, like, into more detail about the Awoken in general. We can do a deep dive on them sometime. And the history and I don't understand this. There are certain things about their history that I wonder if you've had more time to sit with. So we'll do that at some point probably. But
sure.
Yeah, I agree so far about Mara. I feel like so far I'm like, whoa, she lives up to the hype. This rules.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I am living for these vibes. I am living for this, like, courtly tech witch, space elf, like, queen, omniscient queen thing. I'm loving it. She's really doing it for me here. I'm looking at a picture of her as I talk, and I'm just like, oh, Mara, you're great.
I really do need to know what the fucking plan is, though. It's been long enough.
Yeah, she can't keep being mysterious.
We need to know something of it. Like, her whole philosophy is like, well, you know, the Hive have the sword logic, and Mara has, like, bomb logic, which is everybody has one piece, and then they all come together.
Except Mara. Mara has all the pieces.
Right, right. But no other individual has the whole picture, except right. for her.
Which could be seen as just her controlling that information and not, you know, not allowing anyone else access to it. I'm not saying that's how I see it, but it's certainly like, you know, she's maintaining her power as the Queen of the Awoken by not telling anyone about the plan. And, like, making herself indisposable, like, making humanity need her by not being open with the information that she has.
Fundamentally like, opposed to royalty, but love to see the chosen queen take her throne.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. She rules. But, yeah, like, you know, there's definitely a sense where I'm like, is there that much of a difference between, like, Mara's plan and Savathun's plan? It's hard to say. I mean, yes, the answer is, like, yeah, definitely, but, you know.
Certainly in the desired outcome.
Yes.
But the game is purposefully creating this parallel.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, I like it. I think it's good. You know, the whole, the parallel of the two queens.
Yeah.
Is good and interesting. And it doesn't. It's not really coming across as, like, good queen, evil queen right now, which I appreciate. We're definitely still getting Destiny playing in the gray area. And I love it! I will say, like, there was some interesting... So I was thinking about, like, Ikora. So the season starts off with, like, Ikora's like, I've issued a warrant for Osiris's arrest. And I'm, like, throwing up my hands, like, okay, Ikora, you're issuing a warrant for Osiris's... Okay, like, you're literally fucking... a cop out here, like, arresting this guy, like, because he didn't help in the battle that you had. Like, arrest first, ask questions later. Like, on the one hand, yes, I'm glad you finally, like, taken action against someone who was, like, obviously, you know, kind of a bad actor. On the other hand, you're a little late.
Right.
And you do talk to Ikora, and she does, you know, and she does take some responsibility for it and say, you know, she regrets letting this happen. But her fix for it is to, you know, to go and contain him even before she knows it's Savathun. Versus Mara.
Right.
Until, presumably Mara knows that Osiris is Savathun, but he is not contained and detained, like, until that sort of moment of transformation. How much did you love the weird, like, Osiris's weird eyes, like, in that cutscene, just, like, as a non-sequitur, but, like, in the opening cutscene, in the cocoon cutscene, where he's, like, he's got the big wide eyes, and he does a weird hand motion, you're like, something's not right about that, that's scary, yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Destiny doesn't usually make the character models move like that, so you're just like, yo, what the fuck? So good.
Yeah,
really,
like,
excellent,
she's
uncanny
dropping
vibes.
The mask there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... I was into that. But yeah.
And holy shit, I can't believe that we just immediately get Savathun.
Oh yeah.
I that is certainly unexpected to me.
Yeah, she just pops right up. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Just first thing that happens.
you wanna...
We have the whole rest of the season chilling with Savathun.
But in a way, it's like, okay, well, Mara is holding all the cards here. Like, Mara's consolidating her power because she's in control of Savathun's imprisonment. Like, she, you know? Like, she is...
That's the part that makes me... You know, we have this whole dramatic irony thing because the Witch Queen announcement happened and we all saw it.
Right.
We know how this is gonna turn out.
Yeah, not well.
So now we have this season of dramatic irony.
Yeah. Can you make this point about the head shape and the Witch Queen? This is a really good point that totally slipped me by.
Oh, sure, yeah. So speaking of Witch Queen, when we see Savathun in that depiction, which we talked about last week, she does not look like that here.
No, she does not have those big crown shoulder blades and big crown on her head and everything. She definitely doesn't have wings.
Right. In other words, that is a development that is yet to come. She doesn't look like that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that she looks in the cocoon, like, you can kind of see her head shape in there. And there's an illustration in the Grimoire book, the physical book, volume one, of the three siblings, the three Hive royalty siblings, Aurash, Zyro, and Sathona. And it's always been a question to me of, like, who's supposed to be who? Like, is it just up to my interpretation, or did they intentionally make them look a certain way? Because they're not, like, labeled in the illustration. It's just, they're just all three standing next to each other.
Right.
And we've never seen Zeevu Arath, who was Zyro, so we don't know what she looks like.
Right.
We know what Oryx looks like, but we've never seen a labeled illustration of Aurash.
Right.
And we've never seen either Sathona or Savathun, so it's like a total crapshoot in this illustration.
Right, yeah, who is
there's
this?
Some context clues where it's like, okay, the figure in the front kind of looks like a Hive Knight that we would know, so that's probably Zeevu Arath, who took the Knight morph.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other two, it's like, I don't know. could be either.
Right, not clear.
But the head shape that they have in this cocoon looks like the figure that's to the left of the figure in the front, who I assume is Zeevu Arath, and the figure... So to me, it's like the figure to the left is Savathun, based on the head shape that we have in the cocoon. And in the Witch Queen trailer, there is a shot of a character, like, going down into the water... Like, it's a very quick flash of it, but has the same head shape. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's... This trailer is, like, with that context now, being able to look at this illustration and be like, okay, that's probably her.
Right.
I think that quick flash in the cutscene was trying to get across to us that this transformation is something that occurs during... Like, either, you know, between now and the Witch Queen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool to...
Yeah, definitely. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good... That kind of passed me by, but I think that's a really good point.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, about the, like, change there.
I like being able to fill in those gaps.
Yeah, especially, like, when they've been kind of mysteries for a long period of time.
Right, right.
Yeah, so definitely good confirmation of some theories here, I'd say. Or some, like, you know, some telegraphing of what's going to go on. It definitely is weird knowing how the story ends and seeing how you get there. I don't mind that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it kind of feels almost like this is like a... Having seen, like, the ultimate, you know, sort of Savathun stealing the light in this trailer, this, you know, coming across as a prologue, like... makes more sense to me now. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I see. It's almost like they showed you,
right.
It's almost like a movie structure where they show you what happens at the beginning and then the rest happens in a flashback. It's almost like that.
Right. Right.
Savathun drawing the parallel between herself and the Guardians by saying, like, we are paracausal, I thought was really cool and spooky.
I love that they kept the way that she talks. Which we briefly talked about in a previous episode, where she speaks in our real life modern parlance.
Mm-hmm.
And when she introduces herself, she says, "I'm Savathun, the Witch Queen, Sister of Shapes, etc., etc."
Yeah, right. Yeah, etc., etc. Like, you know the rest. It's like
yada yada. She mm-hmm. might as well have said.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's so casual.
Yeah, it really is.
I love it.
It's casual, it's colloquial in a way.
Right,
like,
right. Which sounds normal to us, but people in Destiny Universe don't talk like that.
No, right, exactly. Just in general.
I love that they've made that distinction.
It's really smart.
Like, they put the thought into making other characters not speak that way, so that when somebody does, it's like off-putting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I like that a lot, too. I noticed that, too. I thought it was cool. We get a little bit of information about, like, the Ascendant Plane, clarifying what the Ascendant Plane is, which was definitely useful for me as someone who... I've played through a lot of the Forsaken content, but I didn't play during that season. So, the Ascendant Plane was always kind of like, yeah, it's like a parallel universe. I don't know, whatever. Like, I don't really understand how this works. But we do get a little bit of an explanation of the way reality and the Ascendant Plan are... I think it's... Is it Petra who tells us this?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, welcome back, Petra. Welcome back, Petrevenge.
Yes.
Pet Revenge, your ridiculous name. They could have given you any other name, but...
I love that her title is Queen's Wrath.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that when Mara refers to her, she says, my wrath.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Excellent.
It's top tier. Very, yes. Big, you know, courtly, gay yearning vibes, in my opinion. My headcanon for them is that Petra's always been in love with Mara, but it has not returned. And Mara's her.
I think that's just canon.
Is that just canon? It's so sad.
I mean, I'm sure there has been some entanglement. But I think ultimately, yes, that... at least that's
reads,
what I've
right?
always gotten out of it.
Okay,
yeah.
that's good. That makes me feel good. Big, just like, again, just going back to, you know, the Awoken Court just being like a messy horde of lesbians. you know, my ex's ex is my ex kind of vibes in the Awoken Court for me.
Yeah.
And
poor Petra, she's been the queen regent for real life years now,
administering, ruling the Awoken in Mara's stead, because Mara's been, fucked off to wherever.
Right, and so I can only imagine, I hope we get a little bit more, I hope we get more from Petra's perspective.
Yeah, of what their reunion is like.
Yeah, because Mara just shows back up, and it's alright, I'm queen again now, see, you know, back to your station, Petra.
Here
thanks.
I am. Right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for your help, but...
You know, and then there's also, the real-life dissonance of, we haven't... It seems like we've met the requirements for ending the curse cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dreaming City patrol zone planet is still there on the curse cycle, so, at the same time as all this is going on, Petra also still has to be in her Queen Regent getup,
right,
going through the curse cycle on the Dreaming City,
mm-hmm,
which is very weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. I digress.
No, it's okay. It's typical Destiny.
I wonder if we will see that get resolved, when, Witch Queen... Because I imagine it would take, a big update to have a big change like that.
Mm.
I wonder what they will do with that. Or if they'll just keep it... You know, if the Dreaming City will just stay in the curse cycle indefinitely because they want people to still play Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, time will tell on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But you make a good point.
But going back to Petra explaining the Ascendant Plane, sorry,
it's fine.
Took us off course there.
It's all good. We can be off course. There's lots to talk about and lots of connections to lots of things. So it's definitely, definitely is time to do stuff like that. I thought that was helpful of just being like, what is this dang thing? What is this weird, take-any world that we go into? For me, it's, and I'm sure it's a good refresher too for anyone. We haven't really been focused on the Ascendant Plane for a while. There should have been something like this in Season of the Hunt, I think. Because I didn't really get the whole, the rules of the universe. You know, with Zivu Arath, it was we have to follow the Celebrant into the Ascendant Plane and kill them there, and blah, blah, blah. And, that wasn't... I kind of got it, but I would have... This would have been a good thing to put in there, I think. I would have...
Right.
Maybe they felt like, well, if you've been playing Destiny consistently since Forsaken, you don't need that reminder. So, why would you put it in? I don't know.
Pointing back to our demand that Destiny add a glossary.
Yeah, for real.
Yep.
A glossary would be great.
But yeah, in lieu of that, I also, even already coming in with that knowledge, I also think it's very good to have a quick summary.
Yeah, I thought I was glad to have that little like background update.
Yeah, and in that update, we got a little flavor, which is... That was prompted by Crow asking about it, because he's like, well, all the information I have on it was given to me by quote-unquote Osiris, so I would like to have some confirmation by a third party, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's actually happening here?
And some fuel on our Last City Indoctrination of Lightbearers ongoing thread. After Petra explains it, she's like, what do they teach you in the city?
Yeah.
If not this.
And the answer is not this.
Yeah, and Crow says they mostly taught him to point, shoot, and jump. Which is a cute little Destiny joke, but also...
Yeah. It says something real about the state of the Vanguard and, like, what kinds of information and training and support they're providing to people, i.e.
right.
military stuff, like,
right.
exclusively.
Right.
Which is messed up.
Yes.
And goes with our kind of, you know, our ongoing tracking of the Last City as, and the Vanguard as a questionable organization
right.
at best, and fascist at worst.
Yes.
So there's this other thread that we have going on with the fairy tale of, like, two Kestrels. For some reason, it's important to inform us, I guess maybe just for ease of writing, that one's name is Augur, and what's the other one? I forget. But they have two names that are, like, anagrams of each other.
Yeah, Augur and...
Something else. I can't remember the other one.
Yeah.
Gear. It's a Guilty Gear. That's it. That's what it's been the whole time.
Slide back!
That's it. It's a gear. The Awoken knew they couldn't change society. So instead of blaming themselves, they blame the beasts, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, that's a digression. But, you know, we have these long associated with the Awoken and the Dreaming City have been the prophecy machines and the symbols that go with them. So, you know, like the bird diving and the dragons and snakes and all of that. And we are now getting some of the backstory of why that imagery was chosen, that it's part of this Awoken, like, cultural myth about a pair of Kestrels. Obviously, the Kestrels are Mara and Aldrin.
Yes.
They even say it outright.
That was funny.
It was funny. They're like, you know, oh, by the way, it's obviously us. And you're like, thanks, yeah,
Mara,
no, I got it.
Mara literally says, in case you didn't get it.
Uh-huh. You're like...
I was like, no, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mara. No, I'm good, actually.
But you know what? Listen, after all the complaining I do about how, like, sometimes you need to beat people over the head with it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because otherwise you get fucking... You get, 1,000 fucking lore videos spinning out into infinity about what could it be.
Right, yeah, uh-huh, exactly. It's fine to just say, we're not interested in this being a mystery. We're
right.
interested in this just being, you know, a fact.
Right, yes.
So, yeah, it's good. It's fine that they did that, but it did make me laugh a little bit.
Me too, me too.
But, yeah, it's nice to have some kind of context for why those symbols show up so much in the Awoken world. These diving Kestrels and everything.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love when Saint called him Bird Brother.
Yeah. It was great. It was very cute. Even though it's like, Saint, that's your bird son.
Right. Right.
So that's good. I like that little bit of thing.
And it's also, she goes on to then talk about, uses that as a jumping off point to do a little bit of summarizing about that Awoken era, the Forsaken era Awoken lore.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about her relationship to Aldrin their mother Osana, the distributary, and the Awoken's internal conflict leading up to the formation of the Reef, like, in, like, one paragraph, basically.
Thank God, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I know
I
all that.
That was really good.
Yeah, I know all that from reading it, but, like, if you're not a freak like me, you may not. You may not. And it's just like, oh, thank you for giving us, like, the Cliff Notes version of this thing.
And then, if you are somebody who is inclined to want to know more, they gave you the keywords.
Which is what?
Okay, Awoken of the Reef.
Oh.
Okay, there's a lore book called Awoken of the Reef. I could go read about it.
Oh, yeah.
Distributary. What's that? I could go search for that.
Right.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Osana. Oh, Mara and... I mean, I guess if you're just coming in, Mara and Aldrin are brother and sister, and they have a mother somewhere?
Right. Right.
Like...
I didn't even think of that.
You know, I would love for there to be a glossary to go look up those things or, I would like it to be a little easier, but in lieu of that, I love that the keywords are here as a jumping off point.
Right. Yeah, good point.
The last thing I really want to say on this, on, like, the story stuff is the delivery method of the cutscenes. Where, kind of similar to what we were saying about the end of the season of The Splicer, where we have all these characters we've been gathering now coming together and interacting with each other and playing off each other, like, that is also happening here.
Yeah, seeing Mara and Crow face to face is good.
Which is something I've been waiting to pay off for so fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, boom, there it is. Like, I hope we get to see more of that, but, like, it happened. Like,
right.
They're in the same room talking to each other with a complicated relationship. They have established characterizations that are coming across in their interaction.
Yeah.
Their interpersonal relationships we're seeing on screen.
Imagine that.
Who'da thunk?
Who'da thunk? Yeah, no, it's great. And it's not...
I love it.
It's not just, like, you know, it's not only cutscenes of, like, heroism where, like, everything is, you know, it's just showing us, like, you know, how awesome the Vanguard is doing violence. It's like, you know, we get this kind of moment, this dramatic tension of these two is great. She doesn't say anything either, like... Crow's like, do I know you? And she's just like, looks at him. She doesn't respond. It's like, oh, geez. No one's going to tell him? Is anyone going to tell him?
I suspect that we will get there.
I'm sure, yeah, but...
We got it. This is going to be a long season.
Yeah, I guess that's... Yeah.
We got until February of
next
year. Yeah,
okay, you're right. You're right. I'm sure we'll get there.
Can't do it all week one.
Yeah, good point.
But yes. I hope that does happen.
Yeah,
yes.
Totally.
It's too... I have been wrong in the past. You know, I was thinking the drama of Crow coming into the tower post Cade's death was too juicy to pass up, but even though it got addressed in the lore cards, like, that was not an on-screen moment that we got to see.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true. They still have to pick and choose.
It ended up paying off with the Keitel, you know, Zavala cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, so, like, okay, you know, it was there in some manner.
Right, we got there, eventually.
We got there, eventually. So, not like I haven't been proven wrong in the past about my my priorities versus Bungie's priorities, but I do feel like that... I feel like it would be a waste to not ring that for all it's worth.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very happy, starting extremely strong.
Her outfit rules.
Mara's outfit?
Yes.
Hmm.
It fucking rocks.
Yeah. I went back and I compared some screenshots. I was like, did they change it?
Did they?
No.
Really?
They changed it from Destiny 1 when she showed up in Forsaken. But it is. I went back and looked at my screenshots from when I was visiting her throne room in Forsaken, and she has the same outfit on as she did in Forsaken.
It's good. It's a good outfit.
Yeah, I really like it, and I like that they're carrying that motif into the seasonal armor sets for each class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to get more of it. Okay, so you want to hear my backup for why I think that Osiris is not dead. My theory
yes.
on that. Okay.
Yes, I would like to hear this.
So that's coming from my new favorite bow. It's called Wolftone Draw.
Hmm.
I'm obsessed with it. I have a really nice roll of it, so I've just been using it all the time. I'm so glad that like bows are buffed in this season, or I don't know if they are, but I'm glad that I have a good one because it feels really thematically appropriate to the Awoken season.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
But in this lore, the lore on this is Osiris talking, or it's written in the voice of Osiris.
Hmm.
So
I have not read it, so you
yeah, okay, so what we get is Osiris describing his experience of being present and aware of Savathun using his body and his voice.
Oh.
So he says, she has stolen my form, my voice, but someone will see my failure and cast her out. And then it kind of cuts off. There's like dashes as he's being, I guess, maybe subsumed into or supplanted by Savathun's consciousness.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's that process is being described as drowning. It's incredibly like frustrating and violating, I think. You know, in these even these intimate moments where Savathun sort of is cruelly showing Osiris moments of intimacy with Saint and, you know, and with Zavala, it's definitely scary to me. I find this very upsetting in a way. So I don't think Osiris is dead. I just think he is somehow dormant.
He's,
and his will has been
physically possessed by Savathun.
I think so, yes. I think so. And then, interestingly, there's a part where this card talks about a woman in Exo whose eyes are vacant, and she's sinking as well. So the implication being that Savathun also took possession of Lakshmi at some point.
Wow.
Because he says, you know, now her voice, her true voice, humming a gyre of sound, I think talking about Savathun's voice. So I think that what that's telling us is that Lakshmi was also possessed by Savathun in the same way.
Hmm.
And sadly, you know, ended up losing her life as a result of that. So your girl's redeemed a little bit, maybe.
Well, it certainly makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, like
both of these cases.
Uh-huh. So, you know, time will tell more about all this, but I did just want to mention that I'm pretty convinced that Osiris is not dead. On the, you know, just because of this card.
It does make me question how I feel about that decision about like from the arc of these characters' perspective.
Mm.
Like, is that a big cop-out? You know, we got to preserve Osiris as a heroic figure, and it's just been Savathun this whole time, and the character development that Osiris got and the path that he was on, which was, although tragic, was still interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So to be just like,
actually,
yeah,
JK.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear ya.
I don't know. I don't have an answer like one way or the other, but it's just a thought. Just a thought.
Yeah. Fair enough. So yeah, that's why I've been saying that with such conviction. It's just because of that card. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think that's enough for day one.
Yeah. We have, you know, pages of notes here we want to talk about, but we got plenty of time. So
yeah, the season is going till February, so like, yes. You know, we can't play all our cards at once.
Yes.
You know, then what'll you come back here for the rest of the season?
In the effort of making a digestible podcast.
Right.
And, you know, so that I'm not editing too much.
Yeah.
We're being kind to ourselves.
We're making self-affirming decisions.
Yeah.
It's important to do.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let's wrap it up for the day.
Sounds good.
If you have reactions, feelings, thoughts, theories, called shots you'd like to get on paper and recorded, you can write into us at sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. There's probably a huge API update with this season releasing. Kindly don't send us, you know, the lore for the whole season yet. We're not ready.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is broken also on top of that. Like, my perception is, like, more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably even more stuff. Like, there's probably stuff that maybe we're supposed to have that, like, we don't even have because it's broken, like, for all I know.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, just err on the side of caution.
Yeah, that's all we ask. Just remember that not everyone can just, you know, start playing Destiny like the day the new season comes out. Like, people might be traveling, they might have other obligations, they might be in a work crunch, they might just not be able to play right away. So,
yeah,
you know, just keep that in mind. Just remember that, yeah, we can't all just hop right into Destiny as soon as the new season comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so other than that, doors are open for whatever you'd like to say. If you're interested in following me on Twitter, you can do that at kit_boyote. Where can people find you on the internet, Mike?
Oh, you can find me on my Twitter, which is @McClubbin, or at my website, michaelmccubbin.com, or at the other podcast I do with our friend Andrew, which is a Yu Yu Hakusho watch-along podcast, and that is @WatchingSpirits on Twitter.
Yay! Anything else you want to plug or mention today at all? I don't have anything
else. I think that's it.
Great. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us here. And we will see you back next time on Sometime to Explain.
Bye.
Bye. Fly back! Get them out of your way! You don't care! If along the way's a little sacrifice! Fly back! Get them out of your way. Don't melt in the world. Find you a way. Hear that bad. Nobody will miss it. I'm just saying the step that body. Do it our turn. I say hear that bad. Cause nobody denies it. You and I both just have a view. I think Osiris, I think it's like a case of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
But see, in that scenario, the Body Snatcher has just taken your form and you're dead.
Oh, never mind. I guess I don't know what Amazing of the Body Snatchers is then. I guess I just. Sorry. Let me rephrase. It's like Freaky Friday. They switched.
But that would mean this
is okay. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about. Clearly, I have no idea. But I think Osiris is alive.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.